Welcome to Shir and Sfarno, Parshas Bo. I want to talk about a number of issues tonight that come up with relation to Makas Bechoros. I want to first start with a question that the Sfarno deals with in a very original fashion, a question that I think probably occurs to us year in and year out, especially when we go through the Haggadah. So the Haggadah takes great pains to tell us that it was the Ribbono Shel Olam himself who carried out the Makas Bechoros. The Pasuk says, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Beis, for Avartiv Eretz Mitzrayim B'Laylo Hazeh, Hashem says, I will pass through the land of Egypt on this night, I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt from man to beast. And among all the gods of Egypt, I will carry out judgments, I am Hashem. So we know the famous drasha from Haggadah Shel Pesach. It's going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not an angel, not a fiery angel, not any kind of messenger. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is going to go through Mitzrayim and strike down the firstborn. Okay, but that doesn't seem to fit that drasha, which we know, just doesn't seem to fit the simple psukim in Parshas Bo. If you read just the very next pasuk Yud Gimel, says v'hayo adam lochem la'osal abatim asher hatem shom. You're going to put blood on the doors of the as a sign on the houses where you are. V'ro'isi es adam ufosachti aleichem. I will see the blood. I will jump over you or have mercy on you. Again, different ways to translate it, but in other words, I'll spare you if you're inside one of these houses with the blood. And then it says, "V'lo yevochem negef lemashchis ba'kosi be'eretz Mitzrayim." There won't be any kind of pestilence that will befall you in while you're in Mitzrayim. The implication of that pasuk seems to imply that there's something out there called the negef lemashchis, the pestilence which is destroying you, which is potentially your enemy, and which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to prevent from coming into your houses. It's even a little bit more clear a little bit later on, Pasuk Chav Gimel, V'avar Hashem lingof es Mitzrayim, Kodesh Baruch Hu will pass through to bring a plague against the Egyptians, V'roz Adam al HaMashko V'yashtei HaMezuzos, HaKodesh Baruch Hu will see the blood which is on the doorposts, U'Pasach Hashem al HaPesach, Kodesh Baruch Hu will pass over the door, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not allow the mashchis, this destroying force, to come into your house. So again, it sounds like there's this thing called the mashchis out there, this destroying force, which is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is preventing the mashchis from destroying Klal Yisrael. The mashchis is only affecting the Egyptians, it's not affecting the Jewish people. I don't understand. What about Anivalo Malach, Anivalo Saraf? It's I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not a Malach, not a Saraf, not an angel. So where's this Mashchis coming? And just in case you thought the Psukim themselves weren't confusing enough, there's a famous Rashi, Pasuk Chof Beis. The Pasuk says, V'atem lo seitzu ishmi pesach beiso ad boker. You should not go out of your houses till the morning. Magid, says Rashi, quoting a Mechilta, Magid, Shemayach HaShinit V'shus L'mashchis L'chabel, Eino Mavchin Bin Tzadik L'Rasha. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given the right to the Mashchis, to this destroying force, to do its work, to hurt people, so it doesn't distinguish between the Tzadik and the Rasha, so Klal Yisrael have to stay inside their homes, because if they come out, they might inadvertently be struck down by this Mashchis. So the implication of Rashi, again quoting the Mechilta, is that it's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's carrying out the plagues. HaKadosh Baruch Hu delegated the plague of the Makas Bechoros to this thing called the Mashchis, And the Mashchis is much more unpredictable. The Mashchis is just kind of going through Mitzrayim, swinging his sword left and right, and killing whoever comes into his path. And that's why Klal Yisrael have to stay inside their homes. That's why Klal Yisrael have to protect themselves by putting up the blood on the doorposts and the like. If it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu carrying out the Makas Becharos, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu can easily distinguish between Tzaddik l'Rasha, between the Tzaddik and the Rasha. So again, which one is it? Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo, who himself is carrying out the Makkah? Or did he outsource, did he delegate the Makkah to some other kind of Maloch or creature or force or whatever it happens to be that's taking care, that's carrying out the Makkah's b'choros? So, we're not the first one to ask this question, but the Svarno gives a particularly interesting understanding of this issue. In Pasuk Yud Gimel, where it says, "V'lo yevochem negef l'mashchis," that if you carry out these actions, you won't be stricken down by this negef. B'hakosi, and the pasuk goes on to say, Bakosi be'eretz Mitzrayim, as I, Hashem, am striking down in Egypt, the Sfarah makes the following statement. Shemilvad makas b'choros sholach b'sha'or ha'om, evra vozam v'tzara mishlachas malachei roi. Comes the Sfarah and he says there were actually two makos that took place, or two sets of makos that took place on that night, the night of the 15th, which would culminate in the Yetzias Mitzrayim in the morning. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, was carrying out the Makos, the Makos Becharos. He was striking down the firstborn of Mitzrayim. However, there was, in addition to that, a Negef Lehashchis, the Mashchis. There was a series of plagues that plagued the Egyptians generally, not just the Bechorim. And those plagues, although they stopped short of death, are described in the Pasuk in Tehillim Ayin Ches, which describes the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And this Pasuk as well, we quote in the Haggadah of Pesach. Yishalach bom charon apo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent against the Egyptians his wrath, evra vozam v'tzara mishlachas malachei ro'im. Anger, indignation, difficulties, and a group of terrible angels to carry out things against the Mitzrayim. Says the Svarna, what does this Pasuk mean? This Pasuk means that in addition to the Makas Becharos, there was a whole other series of terrible afflictions that befell the Egyptians that night in Mitzrayim, even if they weren't Becharim. Even if they weren't Becharim. Even the secondborn, the thirdborn, were stricken with difficult ailments on that night of the 15th. The only thing is, the Becharim died. The firstborn died. The other Egyptians suffered, but they didn't die. So, these two groups of plagues were carried out by different forces who implemented these plagues. The Haggadah stresses that Makas Becharos was carried out by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Anivelo Malach, Anivelo Sarof, Anivelo Sholiach. However, these other Mashchisim, these other plagues, were given over to a Mashchis, to some kind of destroying angel. As the Pasuk in Tehillim mentions, Mishlachas Malachei Ro'im, it was a band of destroying angels. And they carried out these plagues among the rest of the Egyptians. These plagues that stopped short of death. And it's concerning those plagues that the Pasuk says, be very careful, O Jewish people, to stay inside your homes. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect you in your homes from this mashchis. But if you walk outside of your homes, you're subject to the mashchis. What's the mashchis? Not the Makas Becharos. The Makas Becharos is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. But these other random plagues could theoretically hit the Jewish people as well. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you have to protect yourselves and you have to stay inside. And says the Svarno, this idea that there is a double track of plagues is hinted at in this Pasuk, which we just referenced a few moments ago. There won't be this destructive force that will come upon you. Behakosi be'eretz Mitzrayim, while I, Hashem, am striking down in Mitzrayim. The way we normally read the Pasuk is that the two parts of the Pasuk are describing the same event. You won't get hurt. When I'm hurting the Egyptians. But the way the Sfarno reads the Pasuk, no, it's two different things. You, the Jewish people, won't be afflicted by these other plagues. Bahakosi, when I, Hashem, am striking down the Bechorim in Mitzrayim. I'll be busy with the Bechorim, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you should protect, that's certainly not going to affect the Jewish people. You should protect yourselves in that other kind of fashion. A very, very fascinating way of resolving what seems to be a contradiction in terms of what's going on that night in Mitzrayim. The Sfarno adds to this interpretation the following words, which are very sobering. Kilulei ha-psicha she'asa b'chem l'asa al Yisrael. Had HaKadosh Baruch Hu not shown special mercy to the Jewish people, had he not allowed them to go inside their houses and to put the blood on the doors of the houses, and thus HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed over them, lo hayu nimlotim mishor hatzara she'shalach al she'eris am Mitzrayim. The truth is, the Jews would have been swept up in that other set of tsaros, that other set of plagues, the Evrod, Zam, Tsara, Mishlachas, Malachi Roim, that befell the rest of the Egyptians on that night. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had no intention of bringing the Makas Becharis on the Jewish people. That's for sure true. But in theory, the Jewish people really were deserving to get that whole other set of plagues, which happened on that night, and was only HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tremendous mercy that saved the Jewish people from that set of makos. Ke'inyan pentisafe ba'avon ho'ir. The Sfarno draws an incredible analogy over here. He says, think of the pasuk that describes how the Malachim told Lot, get out of stone. Why? They say to him, Panti Safa Bavon Hoir, because when the city goes down, if you're going to be here, you're going to go down with the city. The Sfarno says, really, that should have been the Jewish people in Mitzrayim as well. As the Mitzrayim were being stricken with all of these plagues, again, the plagues specifically that befell them on the night of the 15th, in addition to Makas Becharos, really the Jews should have been among those plagues. And it's only the incredible mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that saved the Jewish people from those plagues. We'll share now just another very, very interesting idea from the Sfarno, where he talks about the significance of the blood that was on the doorposts and the top of the doorway. Well, what's the significance of that sign of the blood? So he writes as follows. Pasuk Chof Beis, Shetiya Al kol hazot tevila, the hyssop which was used to smear the blood should be dipped into the blood each time the blood is being smeared on a different part of the doorpost. In other words, on each of the doorposts and the top. Vizelo lahoros al gimel yudin. The fact that the hyssop, the azov, is being dipped three times, and then being used to paint three different marks on the door, hints at three times the letter Yud. Why the letter Yud? Ke'omram ha'olam haba nivra b'yud. We're told the Gemara Menachos that olam haba, that the world to come, the next world, was created with the Hebrew letter Yud. There's some connection between the Hebrew letter Yud and Olam Haba. We very often find, by the way, again, the Mefarshim speak about this, not the Sfarno, but we know that there's a connection between the number 10 and many things having to do with Kedusha. So number 10, of course, is the gematria of the letter Yud. So, you know, there's some connection between Yud, between 10, between Kedusha, between Olam Haba, and all of those concepts are tied in together. What the Sfarno is suggesting over here, I think sometimes when we picture what was, you know, what the doorposts looked like in Mitzrayim, is that the Jews painted the three sides of the door, meaning they took the azov, the hyssop, and they smeared the blood from one side to the other on the top, smeared the blood from top to bottom on one side, and then smeared the blood from top to bottom on the other side. In other words, somewhat similar to the way you'd paint a window frame or a door frame, you know, you'd smear the entirety of the frame with whatever paint you're putting on. The Sfarno is reminding us that, in point of fact, there was just a little bit of blood that was placed on the top and on the two sides. In other words, a dot, so to speak. And that dot looked like a yud. So in other words, because what's a yud? A yud is basically a point, a single point. So in other words, there was a yud on the top of the door and a yud on either side of the doors. And yud represents the idea of eternity. Hayud Torah al pshitus nitzchi. The yud speaks to the idea of something which is eternal and something which is one organic unit. In other words, things that exist in the spiritual world are incredibly simple in the sense that they're unified. They're one organic unit. Things in this world and in Olam Hazeh are complicated. They're complex. They have multiple parts to them. When you get to something that is Kedusha-based, that's Olam Haba-based, there's a tremendous simplicity about it. The Yud represents that simplicity. It's a single dot. It's a single point. And the fact that there are three Yuds, Torah Hayud El Yono Metzias Hayochid Be'olamo Al Shnei Olamim Nitzchiyim. The fact that there's a yud on top of the doorpost and two yuds on either side of the doorpost hint at two times in human history when man had, for a brief period of time, immortality. Man was immortal before the sin of the Eitz Hadas. Man was also immortal after Maimed Har Sinai, before the Chet HaEgel. The two yuds on either side of the doorpost, says the Sfarno, represent that brief period of time where Olam Haba was in Olam Hazeh, where the world to come was in this world, and the top yud on the top of the door represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who created the whole concept of Olam Haba. So in other words, to, you know, perhaps paraphrase what I think the Sfarno was saying over here, what was the notion of putting the blood on the door as a way of saving the Jewish people from this mashchis, from this series of plagues that was going through Mitzrayim? On a very simple level, you know, you read the psukim and you say, oh, it was an identifying mark. You know, so this way the mashchis knows where to find a Jewish home, right? But obviously that's overly simplistic. HaKadosh Baruch Hu certainly doesn't need to give the mashchis a mark, you know, a mark on the door to make sure that it's not going to enter into a Jewish home. The sign of the blood was really a sign for the Jewish people themselves. And the sign meant to convey the following idea. When you connect to eternity, when you connect to the idea of Olam Haba as represented by these yuds, you will be saved from the tsaros that are out there in the world. It's a message to Klal Yisrael. It's not just simply a sign, you know, to the mashchis, skip this house, right? But rather, it's a message which the Jews are conveying to themselves. They're saying to themselves, if I connect to the idea of the yud, which is tied in with this blood, the idea of connecting to Olam Haba and Kedusha and everything that represents, so then that will save me from the tsaros that are going through Mitzrayim at that particular time. Just one or two other points, which we'll get in before we stop for today. The Pasuk says in Yud Zayin, Ushmartem es ha-matzos, the Torah is describing the mitzvos associated with Pesach, which of course emerged from this whole this whole incredible night, you know, the Makas Bechoros and the Geulas Mitzrayim, the redemption from Egypt. So Pasuk says, Ushmartem es ha-matzos, you should guard the matzos. Ki be'etzem hayom hazeh utseisi et siboseichem eretz Mitzrayim. Because on this day, I brought all of your hosts out of Mitzrayim. The connection between the two ideas is not entirely clear. I mean, again, on the simplest of levels, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, the mitzvah of matzah is supposed to remind you of what happened tonight. But, you know, the phrase, be'etzem hayom hazeh, in the midst of this day, seems like an extraneous phrase. Why don't you just say, u'shmartem es ha-matzos, ki bayom hazeh utseisi es siboseichem eretz Mitzrayim. Keep this mitzvah of matzahs, because this reminds you that it was today that you left Mitzrayim. So the Sfarno writes the following, just a little bit of a deeper pshat in the pasuk. Shmartem es ha-matzos, you should guard the mitzvah of matzos. Hamoros al mihirus b'li hamtonas chimutz. Matzos convey the idea of alacrity, of haste, because of course matzo means that the flour and the water were baked without giving it time to rise. So the very concept of matzah implies something which happens hurriedly. And the pasuk then goes on to say, why is hurrying associated with Yetzias Mitzrayim? So of course we know what's going to happen when the Jews leave Mitzrayim. They're going to leave so quickly that the dough won't have time to rise. We know that. But the Mefarshim all asked the question, that event didn't happen yet in Perek Yud Beis. That's only going to happen when they leave Mitzrayim. The instructions, Ushmartem es ha-matzos, are given to the Jewish people in advance of them sitting down to that first Seder, which they have on the night of the 15th, in Mitzrayim. So why did they eat matzah before they actually left and the dough didn't have time to rise? Many Mefarshim asked this question, right? You know, eating matzah reminds us the dough didn't have time to rise, but the dough hadn't yet not risen, right? So what are they eating matzahs on that first night in Mitzrayim? So the Sfarno, without asking that kasha, essentially answers it. He says as follows. The pasuk goes on to say, ki be'etzem hayom hazeh, in the midst of this day, bayom hazeh be'atzmo, shebiyom echad nasa kibbutz. The entire Jewish people were able to be gathered on one day. Really, if you think about it, it was a supernatural occurrence that the entire Jewish people were able to be gathered and just leave Mitzrayim. You know, we think back to, you know, when we picture Yetzias Mitzrayim, sometimes we think back to some play we did in second or third grade where there were, you know, a sum total of 5 or 10 Jewish people who got on stage and left Mitzrayim. Talking about 2 million people who left Mitzrayim, something in that area. So how do you gather 2 million people together, mobilize them, and get them to move out of Mitzrayim at the same time? I mean, the logistics involved in that are incredible. That's a project that takes several days, especially we're talking about this is a day and age, you know, there's no email, there's no Twitter, nobody posted on Facebook, you know, leaving Mitzrayim tomorrow. Just to get the word out, to get everybody together was a Herculean task. So how is it possible? So that's what Sfarno says, it was an ace, it was really a miracle that the Jewish people were able to mobilize, come together, and all leave Mitzrayim basically in within the day. And that's be'etzem hayom hazeh, in the midst of this day, meaning on this one day, hotseisi es tzivoseichem eretz Mitzrayim. I took out all of your hosts. In other words, I took out all of the Jewish people, despite your great numbers, despite the fact that this was a logistical nightmare, it shouldn't have been able to happen, I somehow managed to put all of Klal Yisrael together to take them out on that day. And the food, which symbolizes that miracle, is the matzah. Because the matzah, even before the dough didn't have time to rise, matzah symbolizes the notion that we moved very, very quickly and did something in record time on this day. So the matzah, which was already eaten in Mitzrayim, was a symbol of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was in the process of organizing and orchestrating something incredible. He was in record time. He was getting the Jews together and enabling these millions of people to be able to leave Mitzrayim all at the same time, something which doesn't seem possible, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it happen. That's the significance of Matzah, which had a significance already, even while the Jews were sitting down to that Seder in Mitzrayim. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah.